This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Daily is Daily Vikings Entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
All right, Purple Daily on draft. It's draft week. We made it. It's Christmas. It's Christmas of the NFL offseason. Miles Gorham, Tyler Fornes, Declan Goff here from the Purple Daily on Draft crew. You're going to see these two knuckleheads and myself at the Fillmore on Thursday with Mackie and Judd as well. So we're super excited for that. If you have tickets, we're excited to hang out and meet with you and celebrate, mostly hopefully celebrate with you. And of course, this will also the draft party will also be streamed on the Purple Daily YouTube channel. For the audio side, you'll see some episodes downloadable as well. So we're super pumped. We're very excited. The draft is finally here. This is a show dedicated to the draft, and now we get to see the payoff starting on Thursday on night one. And what we're going to do here today on Purple Daily on Draft, because we've done mock drafts, we've done scenarios, we've talked about situations. I'm going to have all of us here, including myself, we're going to give some declarative NFL draft statements regarding the Vikings. So the Vikings are going to do this in the first round. The Vikings are going to do that by the end of the draft, etc. So Let's kick it off here. We'll go around the room maybe a couple times. Forno, I'll start with you. Give me a declarative draft statement. By the end of night one or whatever it is, you kick us off. Give us our first draft statement.
So I've been doing some research, trying to gather as much information about Kwesi Adofo-Mensah as I can to try and really understand what processes he might use to be able to tackle some of these players. And what I found was of the 16 Vikings draft picks that he has made, seven of them had something to do with top 30 visits. And kind of looking at team needs and looking at who some of those top 30 visits are, I'm going to go out on a limb and make a declarative statement that the Vikings are going to take Oregon's Brandon Dorlus. So it's a little far-fetched, and it may not happen. It looks like about 10 to 15 schools that, and as I have the doc right in front of me, I'm not going to count them physically, that the Vikings have brought in players this year for top 30 visits. Last year, they took Dwayne McBride, Jordan Addison, Mekhi Blackmon. All three of those players came in. They also took Jay Ward and Jaqueline Roy, where they had two of their teammates come in. So five of their six draft picks last year related back to top 30 visits. And I think that's an important piece of information. In 2022, only Asezi Odomewo ended up being a draft pick from those top 30 visits, but they had Vidarian Lowe, who was a draft pick. Kirby Joseph was a top 30 visit. So there are links. And then there are also links for players who were undrafted and all that. So the way I look at it is, well, what are the Vikings team needs? One of them is defensive line. And arguably the most versatile defensive lineman in the draft, other than Darius Robinson of Missouri, Brandon Dorlus. He went to the Senior Bowl weighing in at 264, which is a massive, massive mistake. That dude needs to weigh like 285, 290 and just be a really big edge or a little bit undersized three technique and just be a game wrecker. That's what he was. He's a tweener, but a guy like Brian Flores likes players like that because he can be versatile and he can be unique in how they package him. And because Dorlus did that, didn't play that well at the Senior Bowl, weighed a little less at the combine, I think you might be able to get him at a little bit of a discount. I have him as like a fringe round two, round three player as it is. Maybe he slides to round four. And I think the Vikings are going to make a couple moves based on that top 30 list. And I'm going to guess Brandon Dorlus is one of them.
So just a little overview from NFL.com on Brandon Doyle. I don't really think we haven't talked about him at all, have we?
No.
In the last 3 months or so. So he is draft projection just on NFL.com is rounds 3 and 4. So potentially a day 3 pick. I wonder though, Forno, if the Vikings end up parting with 108, or if they're not able to get back in the second, third round, like, are they going to be able to still grab him by the time, if they're on the clock, like on day 3, will he even be there?
It's possible. Especially because I didn't think his pre-draft process was very good for that reason, because I think his representation wanted him to be an edge and not a three technique. The problem is he is a mismatch type player, and he's a guy who's going to win with a lot of power and is not going to win with a ton of athleticism and juice. But I mean, he has good juice for what his size is, but it was like Braylon Trice. He dropped down 15, 20 pounds, and then he tested like dog water. So at a certain point, it doesn't matter. You have to use what brought you to the dance. And I think Dorlis just made a mistake in that point, and that could end up costing him. It also may not cost him at all, because teams may just see right through it and like, no, we're going to get you back to that weight and you're just going to be a game wrecker and it'll be fine. So I'm just going to go out on a limb and say it's Dorlis. It also could be one of the LSU defensive tackles, Mason Smith, Jordan Jefferson, or Mekhi Wingo. But Dorlis, to me, he feels like a Brian Flores guy. He feels like a Kwesi Ofemensah type player. Plus, he links up with those top 30 visits.
Yeah, defensive tackle, big need for the Vikings as well. First team all Pac-12 last year too. So yeah, a game record and a position that the Vikings desperately need to take here. All right, Miles, I'm going to put the ball on the tee here for you as well. Give me a declarative draft statement for the Vikings this weekend.
I mean, besides the obvious that they'll get their quarterback of the future on Thursday, I would say I think their first non-quarterback pick, because I think quarterback will be their first pick, will be a cornerback. Who? I don't know, but I think I feel like they're just doing a lot of work in cornerbacks, and I feel like as much as we think they have young depth guys like, Andrew Booth Jr., Caleb Evans, Mekhi Blackmon, which I think Mekhi Blackman's still high on their list. Byron Murphy Jr. is in a contract year, and so is Shaq Griffin, signed a one-year deal. So I feel like they don't like their current depth at cornerback and their long-term outlook at cornerback. So I wouldn't be surprised, kind of like how they drafted Mekhi Blackmon at the end of the third round last year. They could use one, whether it's 108, 129, to go get a cornerback. I was going to go to my list to say who could be available. I feel like a lot of people have talked about, I like Max Melton. He's kind of in that same realm as a guy like Mekhi Blackmon, though. Like, he's more of like a nickel, smaller, can play inside out. I'm not sure if the Vikings want to grab another guy like that. I really like the Missouri guys. I think the Missouri and the Florida State cornerbacks, Jerrion Jones, another nickel, Ennis Rakestraw, who's probably going to go on like day two, early day two, I guess. Yeah, I know. I wanted to mention him though, because I like him too. But Cam Hart, I'm not sure where Cam Hart's going to go, Notre Dame corner, but he's a bigger guy that I could see potentially being maybe a late third, mid to late third to early fourth, who knows, in that range. But that's a guy that I like, that I think that could fit the Vikings like man corner, big physical outside corner. But I am excited to see. I want to know who, Brian Flores has his eyes on for guys that can play on the outside, because that's the one area that they don't really have a long-term output at, is outside, outside mm-hmm. corner. They kind of have like the versatile inside outside guys and Byron Murphy and Mekhi Blackmon, but they don't really have like a true outside corner besides Shaq Griffin now, who again is on a rental type deal. So, I am curious to see what kind of guy they're going to go after there.
So I will say,
Who are the top 30 guys even like on that list?
Yeah, they had,
you brought up that I was going to say, I wonder if any of those corners on the top 30 list to kind of your equation there.
I know, I had that list up.
That
I
could be.
I got.
Guys.
I'm pulling it up right now. I will say about Cam Hart. I hear he's got some medicals with his shoulders, so
okay,
that could end up pushing him down. Because I was going through and just doing a mock draft on the PFF simulator. I'm like, why is Cam Hart in the 150s? Like, yeah. I have a second round grade on Hart. He's on the all 4-0 team. I loved his film, and then he dominated in the Senior Bowl. And I'm like,
Senior Bowl, yeah.
And then I asked around, and they're like, yeah, teams are worried about their shoulders. I'm like, okay,
surgery. Hey, but I'll take that in the fourth round. I'll take a guy like that in the fourth round. Then
oh, yeah.
Medicals, you'll take that chance, because the investment's not big. You're not taking a huge investment in the guy, but you see the upside and the potential. And for me, I'm all about that, especially on those day three. Give me the guys with upside and athletic traits. Another guy that I haven't watched a lot of, but I've heard a lot of recently, and he had his pro day tested really well, was Chig Anusium from Colorado State. Long, 6'1", 200, ran a 4.3 at his pro day and jumped almost 38. Like another, big physical outside corner I think the Vikings could really use. So names like that are always guys that I want to look for, because they have the smaller, versatile inside-out guys, but they really need an outside true, press man corner. Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll give you guys mine. I'll say this. The Minnesota Vikings will trade up for their quarterback in this year's draft, but they will not give up next year's first. I don't believe they'll give up next year's first. So in my opinion, that means not getting up to three, because I don't think the Patriots' ask is going to come down. I don't believe five. I don't think the Chargers would say yes to five with just the two first-round picks. Maybe they would, but five might be out of the question. I think one of those quarterbacks that we've all been talking about in May and McCarthy, et cetera, I don't see Jaden Daniels falling, so it's probably more McCarthy in May. If one of those two falls, 8, 9, I think the Vikings they won't wait until 11 and pray that he falls without giving up the capital. I think they move up. They got that second-round pick to move up. That's that second first-round pick, I should say, to move up. So my declarative statement is they're going to get their franchise quarterback. That's obvious, but it will not cost them next year's first round pick. And again, I think that's kind of on the assumption that they can't get up to three, because I just don't think the Patriots are going to ask for the farm, and I don't believe the Vikings will pay them that ransom price, basically.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Yeah, I think the Vikings will pay it, but it all depends on if somebody will take it. Like, who knows? Like, that's the wild part. We all think we know, but in reality, we don't know anything. And like, even more so this year, we're talking pre-show. Nobody's talking. I normally hear things from, nobody's got anything on the Vikings. Nobody's got really anything, period. It's for this time of year, you usually really start to hear rumblings. You really start to believe, okay, they're thinking about this or that. Nobody's saying a word. And that radio silence to me is really, really interesting, because that speaks volumes about the Vikings probably have something and they're not ready to talk about it. They're trying to keep complete radio silence here.
I mean, this sounds like a no duh question, but like, is this the most exciting draft that you guys can remember for the Vikings? Like, what was a more exciting draft for you guys? At least, like, even like going into it, like, what are they going to do? I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I can't really think of another draft that had this much question marks, to Fornell's point, and also like just general excitement.
2014, first year with Mike Zimmer.
Teddy Anthony Barr.
Yeah, that's the only one I can really think of. But we're also in a completely different world than we were 10 years ago. The advent of quote unquote draft Twitter and how much the NFL draft has taken off. Like, this is going to be like the second best rating that the NFL gets all year, other than like the Super Bowl and maybe a couple playoff games. It's absurd how many people will tune into the NFL draft. It's broadcast on three networks and it's going to be all over the radio as well. Like, we're just in a different world, so it's really hard to compare. I remember being really excited about 98 because all I wanted was Randy Moss. In 97, as a 7-year-old kid, I watched a lot of Marshall football. That should surprise absolutely nobody listening to this show, because I'm a degenerate. But my dad asked me, who do you want? I'm like, Randy Moss. And I didn't end up watching because, I was a kid. I was outside playing with my friends. And then my dad's buddy comes over and he's just all excited. You know who we got? And they say Randy Moss. And I think I ran around the block like just like a little psycho. And it was like, but it's just a different world. And
yeah.
Because of how the digital age and social media and just the popularity of the draft, like, people like me now get paid to talk about it.
Right.
Like, that wasn't a thing 10 years ago. It was Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, Mike Mayock. That was about it. There was no draft network. There was no like lead draft analysts on like every site, but now it is. So it's so hard to really have that true comparison, Declan, but I think the closest would probably end up being 2014. Because it was a new era.
Go ahead, Miles.
I was going to say, I think mine before that was 07 when they took Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
And obviously this was before the RBs don't matter type scenario. We were in an old school, still an old school football. And I think I just remember watching Adrian Peterson at Oklahoma and how good that man was, so explosive. Like, it was just, he was so fun to watch. And I was like, there's no way he's falling to 7. Like, I just didn't think there was any like possibility. And back then it was okay to take running backs in, you know, the top 10. And Adrian Peterson was just that special of a player. And I just remember watching, I was, I think, 17 years old at the time. I remember watching and being like, oh man, we got a chance. It was between us and Washington, Washington at 6, us at 7, Washington ended up taking LaRon Landry. And I remember liking Landry, you know, coming out of LSU at safety, you know, hard hitting safety. But I remember when they took Landry at 6 and the Vikings were on the clock, I was like, oh man, if we could get Adrian Peterson here, it'd be ecstatic. And they took him and they get obviously one of the best running backs of his generation. I mean, of the last, you know, 20 years or whatnot, future Hall of Famer. I just remember being really excited about that just because I knew how dynamic he was going to be. And that translated, obviously, you know, his first game, his first touch was an NFL, was a touchdown on a reception of all things, because that
hilarious
man really catch the ball. Yeah, like his first NFL touch was a receiving touchdown. I know it was only a screen, but still, like, that man didn't really have many catches in his career. But that was really fun for me. I just remember being like, oh man, you know, Adrian Peterson out of Oklahoma. I always called him AD. You know, my roommate through college, one of my best friends, he's from, his name is Sooner. He's a huge Oklahoma fan. So I remember talking to him about, you know, about him and all that. So that was a lot of fun.
I will say 09 was kind of up there too. And maybe it's because I have a little bit of a bias because I'm a huge Florida Gator fan. But I remember the first couple days before the draft, you started getting whispers that they were spending a lot of time trying to learn about Percy Harvin. And Harvin grew up with his grandma, going to his grandma's house in Virginia Beach and trying to understand the man and, you know, some of the issues, because there was discussion about marijuana usage. Well, that was because of the migraines, and some of that was real. And I still think some of that was because he hated Brad Childress, which I don't blame him one bit.
Right.
So look, like, that lead up I thought was really fascinating. And Percy, to me, is still one of the best players that never really got to show everything. The dude was an MVP candidate in 2012 before he was put on IR with a hamstring.
That season was so fun.
Oh, and then Adrian Peterson won the damn thing.
That
lead up, I think, was fascinating just because it wasn't the digital age. So when you read it in the newspaper, it held a lot more weight. And that excitement was really palpable, and he made a massive difference right away.
All right, let's do another lap here. Forno, you got another draft statement for me here?
Yeah, I think everybody who's followed my content all year knows this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Chop Robinson's a top five player in this class, and I'm sick of people saying he's not. Look, very rarely should you ever comp a player to one who's already great and who's a future Hall of Famer. Chop Robinson gives me shades of Von Miller. And he gives it to me in one way. That first step is special. It's not special in the fact that, you know, oh, it's really, really good. It's special in that very few players will ever have this. How quick he is off the ball, how explosive he is around the edge, and even slanting inside to be able to stop the run. And some of the issues, he doesn't always use functional strength properly. He could use a little bit more of that and use more technique. But what makes him special is that first step, and he can use that in the run game. There were multiple plays where you're running like GT counter with a guard and tackler pulling. He's crashing in there and forcing the running back to completely abandon the lane and freelance. And that allows players behind him to be able to swoop down and make plays. Those matter. And I think he could be a 10 to 15 sack a year guy pretty quickly. You may have to kind of use him like a Yannick Ngakoue right away and really get him in that NFL weight room and get him with more functional strength and then use him sparingly on those rushdowns. I think he can be really, really special. And if you're going to bet on a freak athlete, like, people are talking about Dallas Turner is the best. I don't understand it, because all Dallas Turner is, I want to run around you and event, and sometimes I'll put my hand in your face. That's all he does. And they're talking like, oh, top 10 pick. No, Chop Robinson is the guy nobody is talking about. And we need to have the conversation. He's that good. I'm going to be the highest in the industry on him. I don't care. And if I'm wrong, I am willing to bet on that Von Miller type first step more than I am anything else with this edge rusher group. I think he's special, and it's going to happen sooner rather than later.
Would he be a favorite for you, Forno, for like NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year?
That one is so hard to parse out because it's... But he's probably going to go to a playoff team, which to me feels absolutely helps absurd. So, yeah, the situation is going to matter so much, especially with defensive rookie. But just going into it, him and Terry and Arnold are probably my two favorites right now. Arnold's my number three player in the class. I love him. Like, people need to respect Chop Robinson more. I'm off my soapbox. I feel good now.
Miles, how about you, man? I know you said cornerback. Obviously, quarterback is still up there and stuff, but maybe like from another 30,000 foot, what other statement, what other Vikings thing will happen at the draft this weekend?
I wanted to say, it's kind of in line with what you had said, Declan, but in a different way. I think the Vikings are going to trade up, but it won't be into the top five. I think they're going to trade up in with like 7 or 8 and not have to use pick 23 to move up to get whether it's whoever QB4 ends up being, JJ McCarthy, Drake May, however that shakes out. I know we all... I prefer Drake May. I think Drake May is a higher, I have him ranked higher than JJ McCarthy, but the league might not. Who knows? It's so hard to know anymore, but until we know on Thursday, but I think the Vikings will trade up to pick 7 or 8 and not have to use pick 23 so that they can still find an impact defender to get at pick 23. That's one of my declaratives. I don't know why, but it just doesn't feel like New England's going to take whatever offer the Vikings have to get to 3. And then 4, I feel like Marvin Harrison Jr. just feels like a lock. I don't know why Arizona would risk losing out on that. And then at 5, the Chargers, who knows? Maybe they don't want to move. Maybe they like who's available. Maybe they want to just take the best offensive lineman available, Joe Alt, or whoever they view as the best, you know, offensive tackle, right tackle available. And then the Giants, I think they want to take a receiver. No matter what, I think the Giants' smokescreen of wanting the quarterback is smoke. I think it's a smokescreen. I think they want I just think they want somebody to take 4 quarterbacks in the top 5, top 6, so that one of the receivers falls to them. That's just, I think, here's another one I have too, is the Giants, if they trade up to 3 or 4, will be taking a wide receiver, not a quarterback. That's another one I had. So, yeah.
Feel like it'd be the home run scenario, right? Like if you're able to still trade up to 8 or 7 and then you still make your pick at 23, like you come away with 2 first round picks and getting one of them as your franchise QB. I mean, that would obviously be, that'd be incredible. I wonder too, if it's like the opposite effect where maybe they trade up for a non quarterback. I don't think that would happen. And then like Michael Penix falls them at 23. Like is that inverse possible?
That's why the Texans took Stroud at 2 and took the risk with Will Anderson. You can't do it vice versa.
Yeah. That'd be pretty nutty. It would be weird because like at the Fillmore, people would obviously be freaking out that they took like, you know, a DT or defensive edge.
I'd be with them nine. With that pitchfork.
And people would be upset. So,
Can we get real quick, Declan, sponsored pitchfork too for the
I was going to say, we got to get something from Judd because that instant reaction from him. Judd would have to have an instant reaction right there because I'd need to see it. But hey, one small thing that I just saw come through, the Broncos just signed Levi Wallace, a cornerback. I just did the windy thing because why are they signing a cornerback right now? Are they trading Patrick Surtain? But that was more of a joke than anything, but it's just fun to speculate at this time.
Yeah, this is the like reckless speculation at its finest right now. So yeah, I mean, I think the entire lip service of it being a tight lip right now from the Vikings. And I know KOC kind of like tipped his hand and gave this like crazy quote of being a quarterback killer, but in a good way. In terms of draft evaluations, I loved that quote from him over the weekend or last week, I should say. This is going to be his guy too. So like, Quase is going to be working phones to a degree, and he's going to be looking at every scenario. But this will definitely be a Kevin O'Connell pick at quarterback, and I'm excited to see that. On that topic, Diana Russini, you know, kind of floated around that the GM that's on the hottest seat for the draft, right? In terms of nailing this draft pick, I really should say. is Kwesi Adofa-Mensah, who now is entering what his third draft with the Vikings. The first one was kind of a disaster. Some positive takeaways last year in Jordan Addison and maybe Ivan Pace as a UDFA. I still think that's a compliment to Kwesi and the staff, but I understand why other people think maybe it's not. And he's entering the hottest seat here. So Forno, like in terms of draft people, is this the hottest seat? That is Kwesi on the hottest seat among all the GMs as the draft starts?
Probably not, but he's going into year three. He has a winning record. Like, mm-hmm. I think people are I'm not going to say oblivious to that fact, but 20-14, considering what he inherited, it's a pretty good start. Yeah. And they've done a really good job of trying to stay competitive. And we can argue day in and day out whether it was the right move, whether it was smart. But the Vikings have a winning record with him as general manager while he's trying to do all this roster turnover. At the end of the day, though, if he misses on quarterback, he's gone. Mm-hmm. That's the nature of the National Football League. Unless they draft the quarterback, he bombs, and Sam Darnold ends up being that guy and he takes him to the promised land. That's about the only way that he ends up saving his job. Like that's how Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch survived the Trey Lance debacle. They stumbled onto Brock Purdy and made a Super Bowl and nearly won it. Like those things all matter. I don't think he's got the hottest seat, but if that quarterback comes in and he looks like crap in minicamp and training camp, and they're like, uh-oh, then we have a problem. Because you'll talk to scouts and coaches and players, and sometimes they'll know within 5 minutes whether they're good or not, whether they're going to make it. And is that too small of a sample size? Yeah. But some guys are just special, and some guys just don't have it. And unfortunately, you may need to get them on the practice field like that in order to truly know. But I don't think Kwesi's seat is that hot right now, but it's also got a lot of kindling underneath it, and one spark could set it off.
Miles, do you think that there's a world where like KOC actually gets his contract extension before the season and they like just kind of leave Kwesi's alone? Like and that's even more awkward because the GMs, not always, but GMs hand out contract extensions. So like how weird of a process could that be? Like because I can see KOC getting extended before the season started. I really could, even with the unknown at the rookie quarterback and Sam Darnold being your placeholder. Like, I think they're going to extend Kevin O'Connell before the season starts. But is there a place where they extend Kevin O'Connell and let it play out a little more with Kwesi?
I could see them both getting extended, but maybe one's longer for KFC than it is for Kwesi. I could be wrong on that, but like maybe because they want to keep them tied together. I feel like it'd be too early to just like let Kwesi just like float in the air while they keep KFC. Like, where does that show the confidence in how they view the dynamic between the two? And that to me would be a struggle. I think the biggest hurdle right now for Kwesi to get an extension though is obviously the quarterback. I think that's how they maneuver this draft. Even if it's early to determine like how those players are going to play out, how that quarterback's going to play out long term, I still feel like how they maneuver that scenario is going to show a vote of confidence from ownership on whether they Kwesi should get extended. Like whether it's trade up to 3, 4, 7, 11, however they handle that situation, I feel like how that is maneuvered will go a long way for how they view Kwesi long term. But I think so far, like what he's been had to work with, kind of Forno mentioned this, is like he's been hamstrung by the old regime. He had to maneuver that in 2022, and it was basically told, "Hey, dude, you got to figure it out, but we need to keep the current veterans in place." But find a way to make it work. And they went 13-4. I feel like that was the best case scenario for Kwesi in year one. Year two was more of a disappointment, but also, his quarterback got hurt. They were in a situation where they're starting to, rise up and be a better team before, Kirk got hurt, probably a playoff team. So I feel like there's a lot of good things that he's done. He's helped reset the cap. He's done a lot of good trades. He traded for TJ Hockenson. He's gotten some good, he kind of kept Kirk at like arm's length and said, "Hey, we're not gonna keep him long term. We need to plan around that long term." I feel like he's done a good job of like building everything up to like where they are now, to where I feel like it's too early to say, "No, Kwesi, we don't really believe in you long term." But also, like, I understand, like, they might not want to dole out a 4-year extension or something. Like, you know, maybe they add another year or two to it so that it's not a lame duck year, which they don't like to do with coaches and GMs. That I could understand. But him being on a hot seat, to me, I just have a really, you know, problem with, just because he's been kind of hamstrung with how he's had to maneuver. And so I feel like he's done the best that he could with what he's had. And so for me, you could be right, Declan. Maybe it is KOC getting an extension and Kwesi doesn't. But I would kind of throw up a red flag and say, well, what are you doing, ownership? Like, what is the vote of confidence with the guy that has to make all the roster decisions?
Yeah.
But you like your coach. But that means that tells me that you don't like your GM.
And remember, GM and coach extensions don't mean anything. There is no.
No, not at all. Exactly.
Max Spielman and Mike Zimmer signed extensions right before 2021. They got canned. Yep. The only thing that means Ziggy Wolf's got to just fork out some cash. That's it. So them getting extended also doesn't mean anything. Like, it's a weird dynamic.
Yeah. I think what's interesting is Kwesi's more of, and I don't think Kevin's not this, but I told Mackie and Judd this on our main episode of Purple Daily. Like, I feel like Kwesi is much more of a collaboration guy, right? Because he wants to hear everyone's input, and he should. I think any leader should hear input and, you know, make the best decision possible with the people around him. But Kevin O'Connell, from a head football coach, like, cerebral type of guy, he'll take some input for sure, but he's going to be the one that makes the final decision on his gut, right? Like, he's going to be the one that says, we're going to do it this way. This is the way I want to do it. And that's obviously, like, most football coaches. But I think with Kwesi, he's much more of a collaborator. And I wonder when the Wilfs took a shot on Kwesi, because, like, it's a very, I wouldn't say unorthodox hire, but not from the same cloth as typical NFL general managers necessarily, coming from the stock market background and asset management background and whatnot. So that part to me was really interesting. I just think they might be more willing to wait it out with Kwesi than they would be for Kevin O'Connell. I think they like him more and have much more of a rush to get his deal done than they would with Kwesi. But these are all even more fun offseason questions we can answer on a later episodes of Purple Daily on Draft. Again, you're going to see us three at the Fillmore on Thursday for those that are attending. We cannot wait for that. Again, streaming live on YouTube, of course. We're going to be throwing it to these two guys throughout the draft party as well to give some great takes and whatnot. There'll be a hot... Did we tell you guys this? We have a grill sponsor for the Flaming Hot Takes section of the draft party. There's going to be a grill that is like Purple Dailied out.
You're gonna be manning it, or do you need me to man it? I'll do whatever. Like,
is it charcoal or propane? Because we need to know if it's Hank Hill approved.
I believe it is. I believe it's propane. So I believe it is Hank Hill. Definitely Hank Hill approved. So yes, there will be a grill sponsor from our friends at Northern Fire. So that'll be a lot of fun. We're super jacked. This is one of our favorite nights of the year. Not just for football, but just at general and Score North. And we've had a blast the last few years. And this one, we've kind of taken it to bigger and better heights. So we're really excited. It's going to be at the Fillmore on Thursday. For those attending, we can't wait to meet you. And for those watching, we can't wait for you guys to react with us too. Vikings event line will still take place as well, to a degree, from the Fillmore and from later on in the weekend with myself. So there'll be plenty of time for Vikings fans getting some takes post-draft as well. So we're super excited. Hit that subscribe button. This is Purple Daily on Draft. We'll see everyone on Thursday.